This is very interesting. You may be interested in this. When I was waiting on God and trying to figure out what do I say to these dear people the very first day, I started on a bunch of things and I thought, oh, this, yeah. And then after a while, it was like, nah. And then something else came and I started outlining it. And the next week, our pastor spoke on the very same passage with the exact same points that I had, the exact same words that I had. He stole his message from me. But it was a confirmation from God saying, do this, say this. I needed to hear it, and I believe many of you do too. We want to hear from God today, not to hear from a man, a mere mortal. We want to hear the words of God. Otherwise, we might as well go to the Christmas market and drink Glühwein or something like that, whatever. But it doesn't do any good to be here unless we meet God. We have an encounter with Him. And that's my desire, that He'll take mere mortal words and He'll anoint them with His Spirit so they will touch our hearts, mine included, and bring fruit. So, would you pause with me for a moment and pray? I'd like to ask that for us, and I hope you will ask it with me. Father, I'm asking, as we come today, that you will unite our hearts together so that we will really hear your words, your heart today, so that we will leave here with something we needed to have, we needed to hear, something that we can then walk in this week and in the days to come and live it out for you. So thank you that you are here. Thank you that you were here before we got here. Thank you that you're always here and you desire to do a great thing. And so we say to you today, Lord, come, Lord, and do what you want to do in our lives today and in the days ahead. And we thank you for what you will do because we've asked, and that's your heart. Thank you. And God's people said together, amen, amen. What would you do if you saw me one day leave in a rowboat out into the ocean? I'm going to go way out and see what there is way out here. And pretty soon, in my pride and overconfidence, I turn around and look back toward the shore, and I can't see the shore. And suddenly, I become disoriented. How do I get back to the shore? And I go one way, then another way, and I'm getting nowhere, it seems. Night falls. A storm begins to brew on the ocean. And I'm starting to get worried. This little boat, a rowboat, just myself in there, what is going to happen? We know stories of storms on the sea. They can be terrible. And surely enough, it gets worse and worse and worse. The wind blows, the rains pour. It's horrible. And pretty soon, my boat capsizes. I'm in the ocean. Even though I can swim, I'm thinking, I don't know how long I can swim in this. Suddenly, I see a light in the distance, and it gets closer and closer. I'm waving my arms as I'm going under, coming back up, waving my arms again and hollering with all I can. And up comes a boat, and there's Sasha in the boat. And he offers me a rope to help to rescue me. He throws it out into the water. What do I do? Oh, thank you, but it's very comfortable here today. I think I'll stay in the ocean. No. I am so desperate, I will grasp at anything in order to save myself. He throws that out, the line out close to me. What do I do then? What would you expect me to do? I reach out with my little finger and I go, oh, that's nice. C'est fou. No? Well, let's try two fingers and grab that rope. What is wrong with this guy? Well, we'll try three, maybe four. If I am perfectly sane, if I really want to save my life, what do? I grab a hold of that rope with everything I can, all five fingers, my hand, everything I can do with all my strength to hold on to that and have Sasha pull me in. And if I can get my other hand on there, I'll hang on as well. Everything I can. It makes me think of what many of us go through. Maybe many are today. Questions, struggles in your life, hurt, pain, crisis. Who knows? Some are asking questions. What about Trinity? What's going to happen to Trinity? Is there hope? I have an answer to that. Even in the storm, there is rope out there for you and me to grasp with all our might. There is hope because there is someone out there who is in control. There is someone all around us who loves us deeply with an everlasting love. So you know what that means? Logically, that means we can trust him. Say that with me. I can trust him. Now look at me like you really believe that. I can trust him. It's good to say that to yourself. It's good to preach the gospel to yourself once in a while. God's good news. Because we get off track sometimes. We let our grip slip on the rope sometimes. And we need to hear again, yes, there's hope. Hang on, because God has a plan. God is able. God can do anything. When your life is in his hand, he'll even work all things together for good. The horrible things even, somehow he will do something amazing through it. This is who our God is. So hang on. Some of us today may need to hear that. I need to hang on. I've just got one little finger on it. And he's saying, get all five of your fingers on there and hang on. When Daniel's riding horses, he grabs on to with all five fingers and more. He's good. Yeah, he just, you know, like this. But you hang on tight. I want to say to us, God has given us some instructions related to that in our survival manual. Have you read your survival manual lately? It's not your iPhone. It's not your computer, but it's what I have on here. And many of you do the same, right? You have the very word of God spoken to us, his truth, that lays out help for us, guidelines for us, instructions even for us, encouragement for us in that instruction manual. So it's good to get to know the manual. Amen? I'd like to take us to one chapter, one part of that manual today, because it answers some of this for us. How to get a good grip when the storm is raging. How to stay strong and safe in the storm, because we all face them. Most of us probably today are facing one storm of one kind or another. That's life. How we handle it, how we grip onto Our source of rescue is the question. So, would you turn with me to the Word of God, the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. And yes, if any of you need a copy, would like a Bible to grab, to read, feel free, or we'll get you one. Just slip up your hand and we'll make sure you have one. All right? What I'd like to do, I would like to read it phrase by phrase and have you repeat it after me. All right? So it sinks in a little bit more. So are we there? Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9, and you can read it up here if you want to as well. Okay, I will read and then you repeat after me. Rejoice in the Lord. Always.
Always.
I'll say it again.
Rejoice.
Let your gentleness be evident. Is this the same verse? It is, isn't it? Yes, good. To all. That to all gets you, doesn't it?
The Lord is near.
Do not be anxious.
About anything.
But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Aren't those amazing words? Isn't that powerful? Even just reading it. Just reading it. I had a teacher back in seminary when he was a pastor. He would not preach on a passage until he had read it at least 100 times. Now, if you and I would just read a passage for just 100 times, we get to know it pretty well. And you're not even working that hard. You're just reading it 100 times. Your brain begins to grasp it. You will have much of it memorized even, and you'll be surprised. I encourage you, do that. You read a passage like this 100 times, and you will be different. I am becoming different through it. So let's hope today we'll all become a little more different because of this, God's true living word to us. Now, as we do, I'd like you to take your Bibles, whatever your Bible is, and hold it up, and let's have a prayer. Because, friends, the Bible is wonderful,
But the Bible is not everything. Now, do I have your attention? The Bible is a means to getting to know the one who wrote it all. It's not about the scripture as much as it is about the one it talks about. We're not here to only learn this. We're here to encounter the one who wrote it. That's why this is here. We need to remember that. In the United States, I know, we have a lot of Bible worshipers, but they hardly know Jesus, if they even know him at all. I kind of suspect it's probably true in France, probably true most places in the world. What we want to become are people who know the word, not the written word, but the personal word. So that's our desire as we come this morning. So let's pray that. Lord, meet us here, we pray. Through your amazing written word you've given to us, but through it, Lord, we don't want to stop there and just know the word. We want to know you much better. So thank you for what you will do today. I pray that for myself as well. Amen. So how do we hang on with all five fingers? We're going to look at five quick fingers today to hang, so we can hang on tight in times of storm, in times of difficulty, whatever we're going through, and be safe and strong in the storm. And so this will be a pattern in our lives. This, I would like to see even the strong foundation for us all as we venture into this next segment of what God has for us. Amen? Would you say amen in faith with me? How do you say amen in French? Amen or amen? Amen. It's amazing how that sounds the same in just about every language, isn't it? I guess Hebrew is going to be the heavenly language. All right. First of all, look at verse 4. What is the key word in verse 4? It's a word you know very well because we Americans got it from you French and we English people. I love that word in the center of it that's the key part of the root, don't you? In fact, we slaughter it in the United States. We say joy, but you say joie. I like that, don't you? The joie. And I think it says something. God has a plan, and even that of saying there is something powerful here, something that goes far beyond human happiness, and it goes deep, and you cannot plumb the depths. You cannot get as deep as it goes. And you can have it even in the middle of the hardest circumstances. You have joie, his joie. So Paul says, rejoice. Does that surprise you that he would say that? Here's the Apostle Paul. He's sitting in prison as he's writing this letter. And he's not going to be just in this prison. A little later, he's going to be in a Roman prison. And then he's going to have his head cut off. And he's saying, have joie. Rejoice, rejoice. How can he do that? Look at the essence of what it is. Look at the statement. We see the when of rejoice. It's a continued command. When do we rejoice? It's saying on and on and on and on, always. Toujours, toujours. It never stops, always. What? Do we do it only when we feel like it? Many of us do it only when we feel like it. When things are going well or when it makes sense. But Paul is saying, no, no, no. Always. Say that word with me. Always. Now we see the how of rejoice. How do we rejoice? It just says, do it. It's like Nike. Just do it. Nike, that's not an original statement that Nike has. God has it. He has it in his word several times here. Nike copied it from God. Just do it. How can you just do it if you don't feel like joie? Isn't that lying? Isn't that being deceitful? But Paul says, have joie. Toujours. All the time. What?
Well, we see the why of rejoice. When you begin to look further in this passage, you begin to see there's good reason. And joy will well up within us when we begin to be reminded again of who this God is we say we serve. The God who is totally in control. A God who loves us with an everlasting love. A God who will never leave us nor forsake us, as it says. A God who can work and will work all things together for the good, for those who love him. What kind of a God is that? When you think about that and that begins to grip your heart and your soul, what starts welling up within you? That deep joie that nothing else can give you. When you know you're serving him and you're in his hands, what compares to that? It's no wonder Paul said, rejoice. Say to the person next to you, rejoice. And say to the person next to you, you better rejoice better than that. You can be the Holy Spirit a little bit now today. Oh, Paul repeats it just to get the point there, you see. Now, second one, look in verse 5. Let your gentleness be known to all. What do we think of when we think of gentleness? I guess the French word gentil gets a little close, but it's not douceur. That's better. Gentil is kind of neutral, isn't it? Douceur. It's an interesting combination. It's not, if a man is supposed to be gentle, we think, oh, he's feminine. No, that's not what this word gentle is. This word gentle has strength to it. It has love, 1 Corinthians 13, all that in there, all that, but there's a depth there. There's a firm foundation there. There's purpose there. There's focus there, along with kindness. An interesting blend there. When you meet a person like that, what does that do? It draws you to that person. Who was like that when he lived here on earth? Jesus. He modeled it exactly for us. The perfect combination there. And that's what he was like. If we give Jesus freedom to work and live in our lives, friends, what will happen? I find this interesting. Yesterday or the day before when I was reading this and reading it over again, let your gentleness be known to all. It doesn't say, create gentleness when you can. Stir it up in yourself if you can. It says, let your gentleness. It's as if the gentleness is already there. The question is, are you making it known? So when you think about it, if you are a follower of Jesus, you have gentleness. Some of you may be having a hard time showing it right now, releasing it right now, but you have gentleness. Do you see what I'm saying? If you have Jesus living in you, what do you have? What is Jesus? Can you describe him? This and this, these amazing things, power, glory, love, all these things rolled into one. If you have Jesus living in you, what do you have in you? All that he is. Can I get an amen? I get my wife to say amen, but nobody else. She's trained, though. She knows when to say amen. I raise my little finger, and she knows to say amen. Yeah. Think about that. If you let him live in you, if you let him have freedom in you, all that he is will become more and more and more evident.
Because we're giving the Holy Spirit more and more freedom in us. The fruit of the Spirit is there. We just have to let Him reveal it. We forget who we are. If we are followers of Jesus, we forget our new nature, what it is. And then we go around complaining. Oh, life is so terrible. Who is in you and me? What do we have? Why are you struggling when there's a rope there and you can hang on tight? It's there. This God is amazing. We forget that. So, let your gentleness be known. Why is this so important? Paul says, the Lord is near. Near in His coming, probably, but also He's near right now, too. He's closer than you think, and hopefully He's in you. There's a challenge to that, and there's an encouragement to that. There's a challenge in that Jesus just might return today. Are we being faithful? Or will we be caught by surprise? Will we be shamed because of it? Because we dishonored Him by the way we've lived? We need some negative encouragement sometime too, right? He might be here. How are you living? It's a challenge to us. But there's an encouragement as well. It's saying, are times tough for you? Is it difficult for you? Is life hard right now for you? Don't give up. Hang on to that rope. Hang on tight because Jesus is near. He's not just near to you and in you, but He's coming soon. You say, oh, it's been thousands of years. He hasn't come yet. Well, in God's mind, in God's eye, what's 1,000 years? Not very long. Let's not play games with that, or we will be surprised. Let's help each other so none of us are surprised that way. Let's be faithful because He's near. He's near. So let's relax in His grace and in who He is and let Him live His life through us. Let it flow through us. Let Him have control. Be encouraging each other in doing His work. We can't do this alone. Say to the person next to you, relax. That doesn't mean don't go to work tomorrow. But you know what we're saying. Relax. Be gentle. Let your gentleness be known. Relax. In the States, we would say, chill out, man. Chill. Relax. Let Jesus carry you along by His Spirit. That does the powerful thing. Now, verse 6. Now I'm starting to get personal. God's starting to get really personal now. How do we deal with the fears, the anxieties, the worries that can come when we face challenging times, when things get hard? How do we do this? Here goes Paul again, and he says, just don't do it. He says, don't be anxious. How many of you can tend to be anxious? How many of you are lying and just keeping your hands down and you don't want to admit that you can be anxious? Yes, one honest person. Think about that. Paul says, don't be anxious. What do we do? We start by choosing not to be anxious. We can choose not to be anxious and we can still feel the same way. That's okay for a while. But God wants us to choose. He wants us to take a step. What happens when we take a step? We don't even take a step. We're halfway there. Foot is in the air. And what does God do? He's there to move in and help us where we need assistance, right? Or whatever. He is there. But He wants us to start. That shows our seriousness. That shows our faith in Him. So I want to encourage every single one of you this week, take that step to choose not to worry about whatever it is that may be troubling you. Let's take a step of faith this week, all right? I heard something out there, but because it's so key here. So but notice it goes further. How or when are we to not be anxious? In some things, right? If we do it in a number of things in our lives, then it's good. God is happy. In all things. Say all things with me. All things. You're not really happy about that, I can see. He's meddling now. He's really getting personal here. Think of your toughest challenge that you're facing right now. Think about that. Get that firm in your mind, in your heart. Think about it. Is that one of those all things? So take that and lift it up to God right now. See your hands lifting that up to God, offering it up to Him. Because then you notice Paul says, with prayer, we use prayer. What's so important about prayer? In prayer, we meet God. We come together with God. We're in His presence. When we stay a while in God's presence, it changes us. You don't talk as much as He talks. We make that a rule. Too many of us, I didn't hear from God. You find out you were talking too much. You couldn't. God couldn't get a word in edgewise. We should be listening more than talking to God. God is good about talking to us if we let Him. So we come with prayer. Connect with Him. And then it says, and petition. That means we start to get very specific. Don't make general requests of Him. Get specific. God loves our details. He cares about the details in our lives. You see how much He loves you and me? And then He says, make them known. So you present it. Get bold. He said, come boldly to My throne. Don't be ashamed. He wants to hear from you. Make them known to God, because we need to be focusing again. Who is this that I am speaking with, that I'm presenting my need to? This amazing, great God. And then another thing where I'm starting to meddle again, with thanks. When we come to God with a problem, why does it say we throw in thanks when we haven't even heard an answer? Because it's a word that starts with F and ends with I, and in between is an O. That's the French word. Isn't it? Foi, faith. We know this God, He cares so much for us, and He is in such control that He will work things together for the good, so that when we ask, we know, however it turns out, is going to be perfect, because He knows and He's in control and He'll work what I need and more. And so we can already say then, thank You, God, because I know this answer is going to be good. The good that Your good is, not my definition of good always. Our definitions of good are really terrible sometimes. Yeah. Okay? Make sense? So, we trust Him. A step of faith. Say to the person next to you, don't be anxious. Why are you husbands smiling at your wives? Don't be anxious. Talk to him. Say that to the person next to you. Talk to him. Yeah. Now, look at the next one, verse 7, quickly. What's the result when we learn to practice these things? Here is, to me, the most amazing thing about this passage. What happens then if we've done these things to begin with? What happens then? What moves in? The peace of God. How many of you have tasted the peace of God? When you first come to meet Jesus and you first give your life over to him, start to follow him, it's amazing what happens, isn't it? A witness in your heart that you are no longer your own. You belong to your heavenly Father, your royal family. Your sins are forgiven. You have a new start. This is awesome. And there's this depth there, this peace that settles over you. You can't describe it. There's no way. It's so profound. This kind of peace moves in. But look what it does. Many of us think peace is kind of mamby-pamby. Look here. See how aggressive, how bold, how powerful peace can be. What will his peace do? It will guard our hearts and minds. Do our hearts and minds need to be guarded? They're under attack every day by three things. First, the enemy of our souls. He'll do anything he can to get us to believe a lie and to go off in the wrong direction. For sure. Our flesh tugs at us and gets us moving off in wrong direction sometimes too, thinking wrong, stinking thinking, we call it. No. The world itself is a system that presses against us and tries to get us to go this way. We need to guard ourselves, our souls, our hearts, and our minds. God says, you do these things, you practice these things, you hang on this way, and look what's going to happen. I'm going to move in. Picture. The picture is a fortress. He builds a fortress around you and probably puts angels up in charge around you as well and says, no one enters here unless they have the password. And it better be a really good password. That's the kind of God we serve. You see how much he cares about us? So, we've got to receive it. We got to say, thank you, Lord. We've got to embrace it. Let him do it. And rest in that peace that is guarding our hearts and minds. What do we want to do? We want to fix it. We want to help it. We want to do this or that or help fix other people. And God says, let me take care of this. Let me build a guard around you and around others. Let me do this. You can't do this. So receive this. Take it. Embrace it. Say that to the person next to you. Receive his powerful peace. Now the last one. All these verses so far, building up to this last one. Verses 4 to 7 are so important so that verse 8 can happen. Do you see? What's verse 8 all about? So we don't get distracted by the enemy and the world, the tugs of our flesh, so we can just focus on the things that are really important. If our hearts and minds are not guarded by him, by his peace, we're going to be worrying about this, thinking about this, trying to think through this, trying to fix this when only God can fix it, and our minds are occupied with this and this and this and this. There's no room to think about the things that are really, really significant. The things that really relate to a relationship with God and serving him. Do you see how important this peace that guards our hearts and minds is? And this is how it comes. You all probably know there's an interesting process in us. What we read fills our heads, right? What we think, what we read determines what we think. What we think then determines what we believe. And what we believe then determines how we behave, how we live. You see the process? If we're not guarding, having Him guard our hearts and minds, we're going to allow all kinds of things to get in to the thinker, into our heart and soul, and they're going to affect our thinking. They're going to affect our beliefs, and that then will affect our behavior. Everything we allow in here or in here is crucially important to know about and to analyze and to evaluate. We're told to take captive every thought, right? There's got to be a password. If a thought comes, there has to be a password that it passes for it to get in. We need to get in that habit. We let so much stuff in here that it begins to affect us. We begin to think in wrong ways. We begin then to behave in not very godly ways. And we wonder why. How did that happen? Because His peace was not guarding our hearts and minds. See? When that happens, an interesting process then takes place. You notice in Romans 12, verse 2, it says, don't be conformed to the world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's a key to transformation in our lives, to becoming what God wants us to be? Renew your mind. Change your thinking. How do you change your thinking? We work through this process so that His peace can guard our hearts and minds, so that then we can be able to think only on the things that are noble, just, beautiful, praiseworthy, excellent, all these things, the things that really matter, the things that are really eternal. Because when they are filling our minds, guess what we start thinking more? Guess what we start believing more? Guess how we start behaving then? You see? There's the process. That then brings transformation. You see the difference? That's why Paul said it in Romans 12. Don't be conformed to the world. Being conformed is outside in stuff. Being transformed is inside out stuff. The world tries to conform us from the outside, put pressure on us, squeeze us into its mold, make us like it is. And often we try to squeeze other people into our molds. Be honest now, raise your hands. No, you don't need to raise your hands, but I can see you all with a look on your face. Yeah? We all do it. We all do it. And God says, let go. This is up to me. Let it go. We try to conform things to our image when God says, let me transform from within out. That's how it happens. His life in us, like the butterfly. That's how it happens. This whole passage focuses on that. You see? You see the flow of that? If we're not careful, we forget it. And I want to encourage you, keep this close to your heart so that a pattern, a new pattern will emerge in your life. You know, you can help each other in this. Because as this happens and you're transformed more and more and more, guess who you automatically start to look like? If you're not sure what answer I'm asking for, there's always one that can probably be right. Jesus. Yeah. Isn't that amazing that you could actually begin to look like Jesus more and more? That is the goal of Trinity. I know the leadership would say that. And if it's not, I'm going to change that. we should be saying, our goal is to make you look more like Jesus. Or I say to Vincent, I say, I saw you reach out to that person last week and did this for them, and da-da-da. That was Jesus. I saw Jesus there when you did that. What would that do for him? Make him proud? Oh, God will make him humble if he gets proud. But we should be encouraging each other in that. I saw Jesus when you did that. I saw Jesus in you. You're looking more and more like Jesus. Did you know that? You know, what would that do for us? That's our goal. That's the flow of this whole thing. It's about Jesus. So how's your grip? How's your grip? Things may be tough, they may not be. They will get tough once in a while. But she has perfect faith, and there's your example. Just trust simply God. And God will do amazing things, even in your life. Now, let's help each other along that path in these days. Amen? Bow with me in prayer for a moment, would you? Lord, thank you for reminding us about rejoicing, about relaxing, about requesting, about receiving your peace, about rehearsing the things that are really good and important, so that you can then do the powerful things in our lives you've always wanted to. Thank you that you promise us again in verse 9, if we really commit to these things, you will be with us. So we want to take a moment together right now to just say to you, Jesus, is there anything you want to say? Anything you want to say to me right now? And I would encourage you, if he speaks to you about something, I would encourage you to put out your hands in front of you, palms down, in the sense of like you're releasing that, you're letting go of that, you're choosing to not be anxious about that, or whatever it might be. And then, as he might lead you, turn your palms up and saying, Lord, I want to receive all you have for me. I want your peace that passes understanding. I want it to guard me so that I can focus on the things that are noble, lovely, honest, just, praiseworthy. All these things and more. To really become more like you, to make a difference, and to be salt and light for you. Take a moment and just reflect on that. Let him speak to your heart.